Hey friend, I'm Tanisha Sela, and you're listening to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm an empath, Akashic Records reader, and intuitive guide. I'm exactly what you would expect a modern day mystic to be. I meditate, I'm a crystal lover, sporadic yogi, and I believe in love and universal goodness. I help high-level creatives, empaths, and teams achieve emotional clarity and allow them to utilize intuition as business strategy. On this podcast, I share stories about my personal spiritual journey, the lessons that I'm learning through my clients, and life as a wife and mom of two toddlers. Welcome to my life. Let's get started. Today's show is a little different. I've got a little visitor. No, my kids aren't making a cameo. Not today, at least. But my friend Grace is. You'll see her on a few of my future podcasts. She's serving as my producer friend, and we'll be chatting with her about how businesses can really elevate their work and brand during the global quarantine that we're in.
Yes. Thank you, Tanisha. I'm really excited to be on this show today and laying down that quote unquote Rona realness. And I'm going to keep my intro super short and super sweet. Just like me, but I'm not super short. I'm just short, but I can be super sweet. I just want to make sure that that distinction has been made. And, you know, as Tanisha said, my name is Grace. My family calls me Essie, and I'll respond to any combo of the two. And, you know, I guess today is a good day as any to step out that spirituality closet and say that I'm an empath.
Okay.
Today is a day like any other day, right? That's right. Praise goodness. And so for those of you who caught that What is an Empath episode, you'll probably remember that there's a bunch of different kinds. For those of you who are scratching your heads in curiosity and you don't know what I'm talking about, I suggest you go check out that first episode of Life as an Empath, where I'm talking about the universal we, because I'm not in that episode, but where Tanisha's talking about what an empath is and ways in which we show up and exist in this world. So that's what I'll say about that. I'm just someone special blend, and I, you know, love the planet, and I'm definitely hashtag Team Earth, and I'm a fan of all her inhabitants. You know, I always say Mother Nature is our great mother and great teacher. So I'm team creatures, and I also love critters, which also includes human children. But right now the jury is out on human adults. So I'm gonna let y'all know human adults get recruited back into team critter and are once again loved by me. But right now we on the outs, but I'm hopeful that the future will, you know, hold something dear for us. But anyways, enough about me. Okay. So that's my intro. It is out here in the universe now. But now, T, you got to give us the T. So as everyone knows or should know, whether they're abiding by the rules or not, we're in a lockdown. Like, everyone's either got a shelter in place or a stay in place or just a good old fashioned old school curfew coming down from the state level. And, you know, we're standing still. And I think that we could really get into the spiritual nature of the current situation, but I know we're going to approach that in the next episode, in the next episode of the Rona Realness. But for this one, I really want to spend today talking about how the coronavirus is really impacting the way we work. You know, at a high level, what do you think it's done to work culture?
Well, Grace, in many ways, I think it has destroyed it, and it's a good thing in many instances. You know, corporate culture can be extremely toxic. As we all know, those of us who have delved into the corporate world at some point in our lives, but this coronavirus, this global pandemic, has also simplified it and what it means to be a human working for an organization. Forever, how temporary this pandemic exists in our history, you know? Suddenly we are more compassionate and we regard each other and our different circumstances more appropriately.
And in some ways, it's created a work-life balance that many people needed and desired, sans the ability to be able to drop your kids off and enjoy like recreational pleasures and meeting up with other people and whatnot.
So you're basically telling us that in this time of crisis, we have basically been forced to actually, as a result of some really inhumane circumstances, right? The number of, you know, humans, the amount of human suffering is quite great, but we've been able to basically reconcile that with our humanity, right? So what, if we're thinking of it that way, right? That we are in of ourselves kind of now becoming reacquainted with work-life balance, now that we're all being, you know, forced to try to work from home, a lot of folks not ever having done so or not having done so so consistently for such a long time. What do you think that the organizational response has been to the Rona? And the Rona is what the young people are calling it these days, and some of my friends who are trying to be young. And so what's that organizational response look like, right? We know what it's at, like at the, I mean, do we even, I'd love to kind of hear about it split up in a couple of ways, right? So how has the organizational response been at that company level? And I'd really love to maybe even discuss how we can supersede that structure a little bit and talk about how the organization has responded at that state level, that like governmental and federal level as well.
Absolutely. I think the organizational response as a whole has been in alignment with each company's core values. So there are some businesses that value their employees and understand the need to always be resourceful and in non-traditional ways on behalf of their employees. But there are also organizations that operate from a place of lack as the norm and constantly shift that burden onto their employees here and now. Even in the crisis, it's the same with lack of communication, vague temporary policies in place, and just doing the bare minimum. But for the most part, what I have observed is that companies have been scrambling to put action plans in place to support the health of the business. And have failed to consider, like in action, the emotional and mental health support that is needed for the employees. The majority are wanting to assume a sense of business as usual to the extent that they can in the middle of a global health crisis, you know? But this is not the time for business as usual at all. It is time for organizations to give themselves permission to extend empathy in action, not just in kind words, and careful consideration of the ones who make the business happen daily, which is the employees. But when you think about a federal or governmental response, I believe it has been an American response. And that has been a response that shows us who we really are and that this country is not prepared for any type of disaster or crisis. A country that has always been arrogant and considered itself immune to all of the problems and discord of the rest of the world, you know, in many ways, we had plenty of time to take a forward-thinking approach, seeing how things were transpiring in China, right? We knew that people were traveling back and forth and we did nothing, you know, which has put us in the position of being unorganized. We are delayed in our response and we are a culture of people that love to pass the blame, and that's what we've been doing. So that has manifested limited action, and it has been every state for itself and a pathway for the government to get a lot of face time leading up to our political elections in the fall. And it's been interesting, not to say shocking, to observe all of our elected officials show up in ways that are not empathetic and downright unprofessional. It does not seem at all to me that we can agree on anything, but this is who we are.
Oof. I mean, that's you know, the kind of honesty I think that some folks are missing. Interestingly enough, you know, you would think that in crisis, it's a time where people can be really honest, and it seems like the response has really aligned with the greater problem, right? We have a lot of surface solutions that are being shared, but they seem to really disregard the emotional elements of the pandemic. And that's what I hear you alluding to, right? When you say that we as Americans have taken on a very comfortable posture, right? This posture of being impenetrable, that we are this titan of a nation and we don't fall and we don't crumble. And now we're being faced with this reality where, you know, the coronavirus doesn't care that we're the United States of America. It doesn't care that we have a high GDP and a high GNP. It does not care that we, you know, are a young democracy trying to find its feet. It has total and complete disregard of any of those rules because it's not held to the rules of our system. So what are some ways, or what are, like, let's dig deeper. What's been missing in the response?
I feel like what's been missing in the response is just authentic support. Like, for example, I was talking to one of my clients yesterday who actually is in the business of benefits, right? So we're talking about the response to this, and she's talking to me as a benefits person about, well, people have their EAP benefits. You know, like, what else could we do? Like, are you kidding me? Like, people are out of their minds right now. You know what I mean? For the people that have been able to hang on to their health insurance, they are literally out of their minds. They're worried about how they're going to make work from home happen with their children present. They're worried about if they're going to be able to get the essentials that they need. I just don't think that, you know, going to dig out their insurance card and digging up what their benefits might be, you know, for mental health is like, is the thing that they're doing, you know? So my suggestion to her, I was like, well, they need to know how to do that. It needs to be in their face, how to do that, what's available, when it's available. And, you know, anything beyond that, I think that what's missing is there's been a lot of pretending like everything has been okay. And nobody is really helping people understand how to cope with this and in ways that they connect with, because, you know, emotional support, mental health support is about connection, right? Nobody shows up to the therapist, the person that they don't feel comfortable with, the spiritual guide, the intuitive guide, the empath that they don't feel comfortable with, and spills everything in one session, right? And I think that, you know, in speaking to even another client of mine, you know, I was asking her about, you know, how scheduling, you know, so housing is an essential service, right? So she works in housing. And I was like, well, how are you guys working it out with, you know, with your sales teams and all of that sort of thing? And she's just like, you know, well, they're working, you know, 3 days a week for 10 hours and then they get 4 days off. I said, 10 hours? Like, Grace, can you imagine like a 10-hour day in a pandemic? For a trade-off of 4 days. So what I translate that into is that, you know, they're still trying to maximize as many hours as they can get out of them. So they're trying to squeeze out 30 full hours away from home, because this is a position that they're asking and requiring them to show up for, you know, for 10 hours a day. And I just can't even imagine. I just don't think that we're putting any clear protocols in place. Should people need to take time off from work for self-care? It seems that a lot of the time off is contingent upon, for some of the companies, is contingent upon if they have a sick if they're sick personally or if they have a sick family member that they need to care from. I think that some companies have even been very tone deaf in offering things that don't matter to people right now, offering small businesses or things like free ad space and whatnot. Like some of these businesses even like, what are you doing
with ad space right now? Like, what are you even advertising?
You know, and, you know, but some people, you know, have been flexible in the work and letting, you know, people care. You know, some companies just get it right all the time, you know, and those are the companies that are getting it right now. But what's missing overall is that there's not enough support. And I think that people have been scrambling for putting coaches in place and focusing on all of these topics. And they're really just trying to get you, the employee, to be able to still perform and not really supporting, hey, what is going on with you aside from, you know, the work period. You know, how can we support the employee from that perspective right now? Because we cannot operate business as usual during a pandemic.
Amen. And you know, I know this is your specialty, right? Like, how can we support the employee? How can the support of the employee lead to long lasting progress within the business and eventually, you know, touch that bottom line, right? If it's about the product that you either sell or manufacture and the revenue that's generated from that work, how being mindful of the importance of the individual really then takes you back to the upholding of that business, which of course will then lead to long-term economic stability. What I think is really interesting about everything you said, Tanisha, is that I'm over here thinking to myself, well, how do organizations make space for true and radical lasting change? And I say that because it feels like right now we're being reactionary, even in the super empathetic applications that you mentioned, right? Flexible working schedules, you know, priority being made for people who are caretakers, whether that's of little humans or that's of, you know, family members or it's of aging, you know, relatives or friends, et cetera. And letting people take time off, et cetera. And then there's that other piece where, you know, you're taking time off, but they're like, this is coming out of your vacation or this is coming out of your sick days. And it's like, well, we're in a pandemic. Everybody, I mean, all rules have just left the building. If rules were people, they have exited stage right as of like 4 months ago, right? There are no rules here. And so I'm really curious. I know this is a large part of the work you're always trying to open people up to do, right? Is to think creatively about how to impact the lives of the people that show up every day for work. And how do we move from this place of reactionary actions to long-standing cultural, like work culture habits? And how do we do that in a way where we can extend this deep empathy, not just when there's like a global health crisis? Why did it take a pandemic for people to realize that folks needed a flexible work schedule? Like a lot of people who are currently struggling to work from home and, you know, having to tend to family while on calls, etc., they've been asking for, not them specifically, but just kind of a whole contingency of people in the workforce who've been asking to work from home or have flexible schedules, be able to split up their shifts so they could spend time with family, et cetera. So why did it take a crisis to get us here? And what's it gonna take for us to not necessarily stay in crisis mode, but stay in deep empathy mode?
All right. I believe that making change that's lasting means allowing this circumstance to force us to see the humanity in each other, you know? Like we've got to allow ourselves to learn from this experience. And that means redefining corporate culture and what human resources and employee benefits means in business in this country. We've got to take this opportunity to start over, to look upon forward-thinking companies worldwide and take notes and implement action in areas for the people and the organizations that have gotten it right, the companies that have the benefits and corporate culture to support a disaster like this already, and realize that if you don't have something that looks like this, know that you have missed the mark in your organization, right? I believe the work from home model and flexible schedules should be adopted by companies that know that now they know that they can support their business with this model and nothing changes, you know? And I believe that we have to be patient with each other as we come out of this, because we're in this rush. Like, have you noticed this rush that we're in to get out of this situation? And we've got to be patient as we come out of this. But radical change is really going to look like listening to what employees need and making decisions from a heart-centered space and not a profit-based one. It's really time for us to focus on the whole employee and consider their emotional landscapes. That's got to be a priority from here on out. We can't continue to sacrifice the well-being of the most valuable assets, the humans, and think that things are going to be okay. Like, this has impacted us forever, right? This is our lifetime. So not to mention, lasting change will mean not contributing to the trauma of your employees' lives, not contributing to the trauma, because corporate culture is toxic, and it creates a lot of problems. And it's just like you said, like, some of us, you know, people in the workforce have been begging for work from home models. They've been begging for that, and they have to get this approval. It's been arbitrary denials of things. Like, we have to start listening, and we have to stop creating problems for our employees and help support them so that they can support the economy.
I mean, I think that was a large, like, triple-sized serving of truth, right? It's this idea that in order to implement this change, it's about tapping into a greater humanity that sometimes, when people are chasing profits, is often neglected, and to the detriment of those people chasing profits, because there's a reason that you can have multiple bottom lines, and it really does behoove a lot of organizations to always treat their people as, you know, people instead of as just simple commodities. And that really takes me to a topic that I think is on a lot of people's minds, and that's about our essential workers and healthcare professionals. I think that what's been super sobering for me as a non-healthcare employee, you know, I work in technology, and what has been deeply moving and also just really incredibly sad to witness is just how the daily battle of even going to work is so dangerous for a lot of our essential workers and healthcare professionals. And I want to ask, you know, what would you want to say to their leadership if they're listening to this message, if they get their hands on one of your podcasts, about how they've responded to this crisis and how, you know, the very act of showing up for work and running their organizations well compromises and endangers the very mortal lives of the employees that they manage? What's kind of, you know, our message for them today?
I think my message is more so for, like, the essential workers themselves. You know what I mean? It's like, I get so emotional just even thinking about all of them, you know? To them, I would say, like, you are our heroes. You know, you are our heroes for doing this, you know? Like, my empath is showing, but I think that thank you will never be enough to our essential workers, but also to them, I would say stay safe and to take care of you and allow someone in your life to support you in some way, even if it's for 5 minutes. So many people have rallied to make masks and are donating lunches and whatever they can to essential workers. And truly, we owe them everything. Like, I hope that we can remember to be respectful to them beyond this, and not just the medical workers, but like the sanitation workers. Like, what would you do if your trash didn't get picked up these last few weeks? You know, the bus drivers, the store clerks. I almost feel guilty when I go into the store and get stuff, because, you know, they're there, even with reduced hours, they're there all day long, putting themselves at risk, to USPS, to UPS, still bringing us our Amazon junk, you know. Our community leaders that are trying as hard as they can and working up against all odds, you know, we cannot do life without you, you know? So I just want to say thank you to them, as far as the organizations, the organizational leaders for the essential workers. I think that they need to take this as a way of being more prepared. We've got to be more prepared. We shouldn't be in a position where we are scrambling for medical masks when our healthcare workers are in garbage bags. We can't ever find ourselves in this position again, you know? So we need to make the essential partnerships now, you know, like, and beyond this, to always stay ready. Like, if anybody needs the stay ready so you don't have to get ready message, that's healthcare, you know?
Amen. So, you know, I think I want to definitely, you know, plus one everything you said. And I'm one of those people, I read too much for my own good. I've spent like every day for a couple of weeks in tears, just reading the stories of people just showing up. You know, you're hearing about nurses who are staying in hotels so that they don't, you know, bring any element of the disease into their family home. Of, as you're saying, sanitation workers or delivery people who are touching like everything, right? And
yes,
having to then not touch their faces, they're touching surfaces where we say the virus can live for days at a time, like metal. And it's just, I think what this has really reminded me of, and I don't think I would have said before this pandemic, I needed a reminder, but it's really reminded me of how everyday heroes exist. A lot of times we want to elevate all kinds of, you know, powerful and famous people, but it is truly the people who do the work that sometimes we never see, that hold up on their backs our entire existence. And so, like you said, thank you from the bottom of our hearts will never be sufficient, but it's true and it's clear that we have so many heroes walking this earth today, literally, you know, putting their lives on the line for us to have some modicum of normalcy. And we are definitely eternally grateful. And in that same vein, you know, I want to end with some radical real talk, as I'm calling it, and say a few things. I'm going to monologue a little bit here, but there is a question in this for you. And I'm of the hopeful variety. I'm a naturally optimistic person, but I do believe that our world has been deeply thrown asunder for a while, that it's been broken for a long time, and that this pandemic that we're all facing from every inch of the globe is toppling a lot of systems that we thought were indestructible, that we thought were impenetrable, that are, in one way, an extension of the organization, air quotes on the organization, right? Because we're talking about kind of a generalized structure. Mm-hmm. But something that you and I talk about sometimes is how realities are being ruptured all the time, and how pain and chaos bring about this opportunity for rebirth. And, you know, we've just come up over the Passover and the Easter holiday, And so whether people are religious or not, right, we also experienced, you know, the spring equinox, or I guess, you know, it's officially spring, right, the moment of rebirth. So we're in this place of rebirth, of reinforcement, and once again, acknowledging in ourselves where we must grow and where we must be remolded. And I'm curious, you know, how do we do that? Or better yet, how do we stay open and humble and hopeful when everywhere we look around us, there is this element of anxiety, there's this element of despair, people are going stir crazy. How would you advise those of us who are part of the organization, but don't think that we necessarily have the power to change the organization? How would you advise that we exercise agency, empathy, and openness?
You know, it's often that those who feel powerless within the organization have a clearer vision than those at the top. And their insights are often thwarted by organizational directors that lean into predictable strategies out of fear from their respective boards or simply unwillingness to try a new approach. But even though we think we have no ability to change a situation or a circumstance, I believe it is our obligation to speak up. Ultimately, it is the employees who make the businesses. So I hope this crisis has elevated this reality even more. You know, I believe that staying grounded has a lot to do with being present. And with our global health crisis, we have to focus on being. We have to focus on being more so than our goals. Staying in the moment where you are will eliminate the worry about the future. And we all have to just focus on our effort. Like, that's the only thing that we can control. You know, if you can only do 2 meetings today because you have to tend to your kids and you didn't sleep well last night, then you have to focus on that. You know, if you aren't able to do anything today because you are just in a bad place over all of this, because you are one of the people that is having to experience this alone, like, you know, take some time for yourself, you know, like, we've got to pay attention to where we are in being every moment of this, you know? And also I would say we've got to listen to each other fully. I think that sometimes in this rush to be there for each other, we're doing it in a way that's not really being helpful to others. And this is definitely going for the organizations and in our rush to put something in place, any old thing in place, we're not really accomplishing the job. So I think that this crisis is teaching us awareness and patience. So we have to lean into that as much as we can. Something that keeps coming up over and over through this process for me is that consciousness is a matter of time. Consciousness is a matter of time. Wow. So things will change, but if we try, we can all evolve together.
Well, I mean, I think that is definitely, as I like to refer to it, a full and robust cup of tea, but that's deep on so many levels about this idea of time and change and evolution. Time and change are definitely the building blocks of lasting evolution. So we've seen it happen before and we'll hopefully see it in this moment, right? We as a world, we as individual communities and as individual people will survive this, and we have the ability to take into the future the knowledge that we exist in today. And I want to thank you so much for having me on the show as a guest. As always, it's a pleasure to speak with you and to have my consciousness raised by, you know, being involved in such rich dialogue. How can folks who are listening to you today, A, get clear and continue this dialogue with you, and B, really start to figure out ways to work with you to implement some of the ideas you have around organizational well-being and evolution with this focus on individuals?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Grace, for sharing your thoughts and sharing your energy with me. I am honored to have someone to have such great dialogue with, and you know, we will continue this because you are my partner in spirituality. But I would love for, if you're listening to this, I would love for us to connect. So please hit me up at my website at lifeofanempath.com. You can follow me at Instagram at _lifeofanempath_. And I just want to say that I am really so connected to wanting to support people. I mean, that's what empaths do. I mean, honestly, the people that are out there that we're calling our heroes are empaths themselves. You know, empaths are here with a mission of service. So I want to be in service in this moment as well. So I've been offering free clarity sessions where you can interact with me in a group session with others that are experiencing the same thing, because we are literally alone together, right? So definitely check out Declutter the Mind, 5 Days to Spiritual Clarity, which is back this month. I would love for some of these organizations to engage in emotional clarity for teams. This is the time for emotional clarity for teams, where we can sit with the different varied emotions that come up as we're going through a global health crisis, and we get that time to process and have somebody to have dialogue with that is connected and that is experienced in holding space, so that we can be comfortable and safe and vulnerable and express what we really want to in this process, and not have it be forced upon us, or not have it come from someone who doesn't really deal in empathy. You know, nothing worse than trying to get people to be vulnerable when you are the finance person, right? So you guys come connect with me and, you know, let's evolve together. So that's a wrap for today. Thank you so much for sharing your energy with me, friend. If you were able to take anything from this, just one single thing that you were able to hold on to, please share that with a friend, and we'll see you back here next time.
Bye.